It's time for Northwest Georgia Sports Live on Talk Radio WLAQ AM 1410 and the new 96.9 FM. Here's your hosts, Matt Davis and Ian Griffin.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome into another edition of This Week in Northwest Georgia Football. We're super glad to have you with us here on the program today. And, Ian, it is hard to believe it, man, but we're about to talk about Week 8 games for the high school football season. Where's this season going, man?
I know. Last night on the coach's show, the fact that the Darlington Tigers have two home games left, that's it. That's it for their home slate. Four games left in the season. There'll be three after this Friday is over, and we'll be moving on to the playoffs.
And speaking of the Coach Grove show, if you're watching on the video, you didn't catch that show yesterday when we turned the camera on Ian to his particular camera. You'll notice that behind him, and I'll go ahead and do that, you've got a special shirt that's hanging from the wall. Ian, tell us a little bit about our new decor here in the studio.
Right.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's mean looking.
We'd heard about the black shirts, and that's how the Darlington coaching staff honors players who've given their all on offense, defense, special teams, and then scout team as well in preparation for that week's game. So the winners of those awards get to wear this beautiful skull and crossbones jersey. So he brought one for us, and we decided we'd tag it on the wall.
Very nice. Yeah. Really like that. And, again, we're just welcoming you into the program. The first thing that we're going to do as we get started today is talk a little bit about last week's games and last week's results and the picks.
Oh, can we talk about that?
Yeah, Ian's favorite part of the year in terms of our show each and every week, because he's kicking my butt. I'll just say it like it is. But last week I was 7-2. Ian was 8-1. Yay! Fantastic. You get a round of applause from the studio audience, Ian.
Fantastic.
Take your victory lap. Yeah, yeah. So you're kicking my butt. So right now you have a 3-game lead. I am 50-14 on the season. Meanwhile, you are 53-11. So
yeah,
You're doing quite well in the picks this year.
3 games doesn't feel like that big of a lead to
yes,
me.
Yes, it feels like I'm getting stomped to me.
Yeah.
So I'll just go ahead and say that. But I guess you're going to try to keep picking with the same edge, huh?
Sure. You can't let off the gas. You got to go with the team you think is going to win. That was a tough one to call last week. The Hiram Hornets playing Dalton. Of course, Dalton had lost to Cedartown the week before after going undefeated up to that point. Hiram was undefeated, so this was a big test for the Hornets. This is a brutal, brutal region that they play in. A lot of talent, and the Hornets remain undefeated. They've got another big game on our docket today.
Yes, and so one of the things I do want to talk about a little bit, you mentioned the Hiram-Dalton game last week. Anything else jump out of the page? I know one of the games that caught people's attention, but I don't think it did ours as much, because we had seen Dade County play and knew what they were bringing to the table. Tryon did win that game over Dade County, but it was a lot closer than people expected it was going to be from popular thought, didn't you think?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I picked that game when we did both pick Tryon. I thought Tryon would have to make some plays in the passing game to win, because Dade County's very physical. We got to see them against Darlington. They defend sideline to sideline very well. They've got a great running back tandem. And they can play the style of football that's going to keep you in games. And I think they'll have a good winning stretch to close out the season, to be honest, and we'll see Dade County finish very strong. I wasn't shocked that game was close. Not at all. But it's going to be fun to watch how Region 7A Division 1 plays out, because you've got, Dade County's now lost too, so it's Tryon, it's Darlington, and it's Pepperell. And Pepperell's kind of this mystery right now. We're gonna find out what they've got. They've got some big games coming up.
Yeah, when you talk about the Pepperell Dragons, and I know we'll be talking about them in a little bit, because they got a game coming up against Almerchie, a team that in 7A Division I has been red hot. They had to kind of grind one out last week against a Chattooga team that has some athletes. They've struggled to get in the win column. We'll talk more about that in detail a little bit later. But they do have some fast kids and some athletic kids. And Almerchie survived that one, literally, in that game. But they're one of those teams that's going to be interesting to see how they factor in, because they hadn't lost a region game yet.
Yeah. I was just about to say, we can't leave Almerchie out of the conversation. They shut out Coosa and then turned around and gutted one out against the Chattooga Indians, and did that on the road, correct?
That was a little big.
That's always tough, man. That's a tough place to play, and they came away with a victory. They're 2-0 in region play, and they clash with Pepperell this week. So our Mergies, didn't mean to leave them out of the conversation. We'll see. The Indians are going to have a chance to prove themselves as well.
That's a very, very good point. Anything else before we move into the picks for this week that jumps off the page at you about last week's game?
These aren't teams we necessarily follow that closely, but the comeback kids, Northwest Whitfield, comes back and beats Sonoraville last week. And then you had the epic matchup that we were talking about last week between Cartersville and Calhoun, and we're sitting there and Calhoun's up 17-0 at the half. Cartersville wins that game 21-17. So some amazing comebacks last week, and it's good. You know, we're really getting to the meat of region play now. We're going to find out who the contenders and pretenders are.
No doubt about it. Well, I guess there's really only one thing that we can do at this point, and that is to start talking about some of these games that are coming up. We do have a couple of topics that we're going to bring up a little bit later on in the show, if time allows, after we get done with our picks. But the GHSA this week has made a couple of moves. The executive committee on Monday approved NIL deals for high school athletes. And then also, this is according to Georgia High School Football Daily, a plan that will have private schools in 3A, 2A, and A competing in private-only state playoffs beginning 2024 and 25. And that was something that was coming down the pike. But the thing that I think surprises me the most about this is that all of those classifications are going to be competing for one championship. So what they're doing is they're eliminating 7A, and there will still be the same amount of championships because you'll have public and private and classifications. But in terms of the private, it's going to be A, 2A, and 3A all lumped in that one, which that part of it, a lot of it doesn't make sense to me, to be honest with you, but that part of it really does not make sense to me.
Yeah, once you get to the 3A level, you've got enough players on those teams where you're running two units. Yeah, you might have a couple of 2A players, but you're able to rest your guys. Your offense gets to come over, regroup, and you run out your defensive unit. And we've seen it at the single A level. Not all private schools can do that. That is, you're talking about a competitive advantage. Well, you've just taken all the smaller private schools that may not have the resources that some of the larger ones have, because some are allowed to have athletic scholarships, some don't offer that. How is that a level playing field? How is that remotely fair to the smaller private schools?
And one example, hits close to home. It's a team that you and I have the pleasure and privilege of getting to look at every single week in the Darlington Tigers. I mean, those guys have the same guys that play on offense, defense, and a lot of those guys are out there on special teams too, so they're playing just about every single play of the game. And so to your point, there's an example right there of a team that doesn't have the ability to two platoon and things of that nature as you're describing.
Exactly. And, I get they're trying to fix problems, but I think they're just making them worse, personally.
And the other part of that too, to your point, is the problem that they have is I don't really think there's a solution for this.
No.
I really just don't. So I don't know what the answer is, but I'm pretty sure that, and I guess when you criticize certain things, you probably should try to provide a solution. I don't have one, but I certainly do not think that this current situation that they're going to have coming up next year is the answer. So
right.
Anyway. All right. Well, we may get back into that in just a little bit. As far as the NIL stuff is concerned, you already had 29 states that had approved that. It's not a surprise that Georgia follows suit. And it's one of those situations, like our buddy Nathan Patterson says from Northwest Georgia Media, once the toothpaste is out of the bottle, you can't put it back in. We knew this was coming, and it doesn't shock anyone. And at the end of the day, I'm not sure that that's going to turn out to be that big a deal. The one concern I do have about that is that I think that one of the goals for the different states of doing that is to get out in front of it. And one of the goals is to keep some rules in place that will prevent recruiting based on NIL money, attracting players and things like that to schools. But I just don't see how they're going to be able to police that effectively. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. I mean, especially because, they're not going to allow these kids to wear their school's brands. And I'm not sure, I know there's a level of that in college as well. But those guys are on TV. They're superstars. If you're playing quarterback for the University of Georgia, you're a recognizable face. So I get you might have a player like that in high school. You know, you think of a 4-year starter like Reese Fountain or Knox Kadem before him at Rome. You know, a Tate Ratledge out at Darlington, where they're talked about a lot, and maybe they have that local star power that would encourage a pizza place to pay them some money to advertise. But I would think you would want the team brand as well. So it's going to be interesting to see who actually invests in that. To me, is going to be more interesting than those kids getting the opportunity.
And we've got a comment about the conversation that we're having. Ian, we'll go ahead and read the opinion that we have from Brian Barkham, who's chimed in. And basically it says, public-private complete split for state championships, regular season, they can compete versus each other. That part of it I do like, because I hate to see some of those local matchups not take place. And then not to mention the travel factor that happens during the regular season. So I'm glad that at least they're going to have that in there. And then he said 3.0 multiplier for out of district. That's a tricky situation too, Ian. I know you have some opinions about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the way the multiplier works there, we're not, you know, I don't know, Matt. They've tried it both ways. It really hasn't made a significant difference. And I think it would be madness to have these schools traveling all over the state to play each other during the regular season. So I am glad that happens. But then how does that affect someone's record? So if you've got a Darlington and they're playing against Coosa and Armarchi and Pepperell, how do those wins and losses affect their record and their playoff opportunity? It's going to go to a power ranking. Would it even be a region game? Like, I don't know. It just kind of takes some of the luster out of it.
And the thing about the power ratings, we've seen this before several years ago when you had public and private split and single A, and those can get pretty subjective too. So you've added another layer of complexity and sophistication that has to take place to make that a fair type situation. So it's a very complicated problem, and I'm just not sure that there's going to be a solution out there that takes care of all the issues that people are most concerned about. So I don't know. It's almost one of those things where I kind of wish they would come up with a solution and then kind of stick to that. And then teams would have to go out and figure out how they can best compete under whatever parameters out there, rather than every 2 years we're changing this stuff up and all that kind of stuff. It just gets a little bit frustrating and kind of hard to figure out. And then the rest of the comment that we got from Brian, he said, no fifth grade up rule for out of district. That's a compromise to allow private schools to reduce travel and to get some media attention as public schools. So again, it's just one of those things. I just don't think there's a simple solution.
No, to those issues. They'll keep trying. We know that. I'm sure it'll be different 2 years from now.
No doubt. And then we've got a comment here from Clay Graham. He said it shouldn't count as region play because then it messes up the other schools for the region.
Yeah. So I don't know. I stand by what I said last week. Advantages or not, go beat the better team and revel in the glory when it happens. Like, build your program. You got to be the best. You got to beat the best, and that's where I stand on it. So
we're kind of in the same camp with that. All right. Well, that's enough about that. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, guess what we're going to do? We're going to keep the main thing the main thing, and we are going to pick some games. We're glad you're with us. We'll be back.
Shop for your next car, truck, or SUV at Riverside Auto Group. Check out RiversideAutoGroup.com today to browse their selection or visit with them in person at Riverside Chevrolet Buick GMC in Rome, Riverside Toyota in Rome, and the all-new Riverside Buick GMC Cadillac in Cartersville. Locally owned and operated by the Welburn family since 1974. That's Riverside Auto Group. Visit RiversideAutoGroup.com.
Oh, I was trying to get the applause, and I went with crickets chirping. Maybe that was more apropos. I don't know.
Nice. Oh, you're going to put me to sleep over
here. Oh, gosh. How do you make
sounds,
it stop?
The sounds of nature.
This one never stops. Oh, my goodness. There.
Hey. You deserve the applause for figuring out how to stop the crickets.
I'm just going to warn everybody. I don't know what it is. It's been one of those crazy weeks, and I'm feeling a little wacky today, so you might get a lot of button pushing today on the show.
Uh-oh. Yeah. He's trigger happy buttons over there.
Wow. Well, are you ready to go ahead and pick some games, man?
Press the button, man. Let's do this. All right. Pepperell at our Murchie. The Indians are 4-2, 2-0 in region play, but they are entering a four-game final stretch that matches them up with the toughest teams in this region. That starts with the Pepperell Dragons, and they are playing better football every week. They seem to be really finding their footing, which has been a trend with Pepperell the last few years. Haven't started particularly fast, but by the time they get to this point in the season, they're playing really good football. This one's out at our Murchie, so that definitely helps the Indians' chances. And I think to win, our Murchie needs to play ball control, mistake-free football. But I got to go with the Dragons here. I'm going to take the Dragons to win on the road.
Well, let's talk a little bit of series history here. Pepperell leads the series overwhelmingly, 22-1, and then one tie. Our Murchie's win over Pepperell was back in 2009. And back during that time, we covered a lot of games for our Murchie, but we were not at that one because it was at Pepperell. And so we weren't able to be there to broadcast the game. But Omerchi won it 15-14 back in 2009. Last meeting last year, Pepperell won it 45-7 was the final score. Pepperell was idle last Friday, and that was after winning two straight games at home with Temple and Chattooga. And I would imagine that Coach Hurst and everybody probably wanted to just keep playing once you start to get that momentum and the confidence for your team. But they did have an opportunity to heal some bumps and bruises and things of that nature, a little bit of extra time to prepare for this game. Omerchi really had a struggle to get the win against Chattooga last week, had some trouble adjusting to their speed and athleticism. And I think that, you know, the Pepperell Dragons have some of that as well. They're starting to click on offense. And so I'm with you on this one, man. I think the Pepperell Dragons are going to come out ahead in this game and deal the Omerchi Indians their first region loss of the season, and Pepperell will move to 2-0 in region play. So I think the Pepperell Dragons are one of the most improved teams around the area.
And this is where it shakes down at this point, you know, as far as getting one of these playoff spots. You got to beat every opponent the rest of the way if you're Pepperell, and our Murchie. They've got the gauntlet of Dade County, Pepperell, Darlington, and Tryon. So they're going to have to knock off one of those teams if they want one of those four spots.
We're staying in Region 7A Division 1 for this, Ian. Of course, we're not going to pick this game. We recuse ourselves from the Darlington game since we broadcast their games. But the Chattooga Indians are coming to town. It's alumni weekend. It's going to be over there at Chris Hunter Stadium. There's going to be a lot of enthusiasm, extra stuff going on for this game. It's going to be an awesome atmosphere. Really looking forward to it. And so give us a few thoughts on this game, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So Chattooga is 0-2. In the region. They had a tough loss at home last week to our Murchie that we just talked about. Darlington they absolutely drubbed Coosa on the road last week. That one wasn't even close. And they got to get some young players in the game as well. So we know Chattooga's a talented team. They've got some size up front. They've got playmakers all over the field. And that'll present a challenge for the Tigers. But the Tigers just have to stay focused. They are squarely in the race for a region championship, would be back-to-back region championships. So,
be three in a row, right?
It would be three in a row. Two in a row in 7A Division 1. But, because they won 2 years ago as well. So trying to win a third straight region championship overall. So I don't know. I like the Tigers to stay focused, to play well, and they're in front of the home crowd on alumni weekend. So that's got to count for something.
I agree with you, man, and we'll give you a little series history on this one as well. It's always kind of fun to have a look at. Got a couple of interesting facts about this one, which I think people will enjoy. But Darlington leads the series 16-7. Last year, Darlington won it 48-21. It was the first meeting since 2015. And by the way, the last two wins in the series for Chattooga were back in 08 and 09. Do you know what's significant about that in terms of player personnel?
A young man by the name of Sonoris Perry.
That is correct. Yeah. He was toting the mail for Chattooga back then. And that was around the time that I started covering sports with my dad and the Rome Braves back in 2005, but I didn't start doing football until a couple of years later. And in the first year or so that I was doing it, Sonoris Perry was playing for Chattooga, and it was an opportunity to ooh and ah every week that you had the opportunity to see that young man play, because he was absolutely electric. One of the best high school football players I've ever seen play around the area.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that's not surprising.
But anyway, you know, as we talked about, Ian, Chattooga has some speed and athleticism, and guys like Corey Gibson, Zayden Cook. I'm not sure what kind of depth they have. They do have some size up front. But one of the reasons Wayne Groves is a successful coach is because he does everything in his power to make sure that his team stays sharp, focused, playing with an edge no matter what they're preparing to play. His message is very consistent every single week with his team, and I think that's reflected in the way that they show up for games and battle no matter who they're playing. So I think there's going to be some times of this game where Chattooga can make a couple of plays and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, the Darlington Tigers, I think they'll be ready for this game, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
All right, let's see. We've got one more game to pick in 7A Division I, so we'll go ahead and jump into that one.
All right, it's the Coosa Eagles traveling up to the Tryon Bulldogs. Tryon and Darlington look to be on a collision course for another year-ending showdown. But there's some teams that might have something to say about that. Tryon coming off of a win against a really good Dade County team. Coosa has scored 7 points in their last two contests, and they picked up a touchdown in junk time last week against Darlington. Were shut out the week before by our Murchie. They're struggling to score. They're going up against a physical team that's really, really good at the line of scrimmage, and Coosa runs the football. It's a pretty vanilla offense, and I think they're going to struggle again to score. They're just going to be outmatched by the Bulldogs.
You know, when I was doing my research for this matchup, I looked back at last year's game. Tryon won it 14-7. Did I see that right? Did you see that?
That was the score last year?
I believe it was. I've looked at it two or three times. I did not remember that game being that close. Tryon leads the series 11-8-1. Maybe I saw that wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what it said.
That's possible.
But anyway, Coosa has a bit of size up front. We've talked about Harrison East quite a lot last week. He can get in the backfield and make some things happen there. Had some tackles for loss. They do have some speed on this team, but they have a hard time stringing enough plays together to get offense going against most teams. And let's face it, they are going to have to score some points against this Tryon football team if they're going to have a shot to win this game, because Tryon is going to score. There is no doubt about it. Last week, Tryon beat Dade County, a hard-nosed football team, real physical team. Toby Maddox rushed for 172 yards, a couple of touchdowns. So, Cade Smith was 12 of 17 passing. We normally think of Tryon as a running team, but they can throw
Smith
the football. So they've got some different things that they can do. So I really think Coosa is going to struggle in this game a lot like they did last week against the Darlington Tigers. So I'm with you, man. I'm going to take the Tryon Bulldogs to win this game. And I think they'll win fairly big.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, that is all the picks we're going to do for Region 7A Division 1, and we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Region 7AA to start with. The Model Blue Devils are going over to Blue Ridge to take on the Fannin County Rebels. Then you've got the number 7 in the state, Rockmart Yellow Jackets, taking on the Harrelson County Rebels. So those are the two games that we'll talk about in 7AA. So we look forward to that, and we'll do it after these messages on our WLAQ YouTube channel, WLAQ TV. How about that?
Love it.
And then also our Facebook Live, and we'll return.
Shop for your next car, truck, or SUV at Riverside Auto Group. Check out RiversideAutoGroup.com today to browse their selection, or visit with them in person at Riverside Chevrolet Buick GMC in Rome, Riverside Toyota in Rome, and the all-new Riverside Buick GMC Cadillac in Cartersville. Locally owned and operated by the Welburn family since 1974. That's Riverside Auto Group. Visit RiversideAutoGroup.com.
That's my new hype song, man. It gets me rolling. I mean, that and the coffee that I'm sitting here drinking.
Right.
It's real caffeinated.
I need a few more cups of that. That Red Bull didn't even get me going this morning.
It gives you wings, right?
Not today.
That's what they say. All right. Well, let's just go ahead and jump back into it.
All right. Model traveling to Fannin County. Look, Fannin County came in. We knew nothing about the Rebels, and they dominated the region for a couple of years there before realignment shook things up, and all of our local teams dropped down to 7A except Model, and they get to keep their rivalry with the Fannin County Rebels. But this is not the same Fannin County team that we had those first couple of years. They're definitely down. Model has had an up and down year. They got blown out by Tryon, bounced back with a big win over North Murray, and then ran into a buzzsaw in Rockmart. We know that the Yellow Jackets are a great team, so this is not a knock on Model at all. They've lost to two really good football teams. So I think this is a bounce-back game for Model. But that's a heck of a road trip, too, so they're going to have to stay focused to go on the road and get this W, but I think they do. I think they get things rolling again.
And I don't know all the details of this, Ian, but I think one of the great casualties that took place out of reclassification last time around was Model moving up and not playing against the other local schools. They would fit so nicely into this region, and I hope that how everything shakes out, I hope one of the things that happens coming up in the next cycle is that Model's back playing against Pepperell and Coosa and Darlington, all those different teams in region games. I know they played one or two of them there in non-region, but it's not the same as having to play for those games in the region, being the same region.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. But Model goes to Fannin County, and, you know, Fannin leads the series 2-1. Model won 24-0 after losing the previous two. Model ran into a buzzsaw last week as Rockmart was able to move the ball both on the ground and the air against the Blue Devils' defense. Fannin County, they look like they've lost a step or two last year compared to the previous two seasons where they won 10 games and made the quarters during that time. They won 7 games last year. They still show the ability to put up some big offensive numbers, but the times that they have done that is against teams that don't appear to be very good. So I think Model is going to be looking to bounce back this week, and I'm going to take the Blue Devils to win this football game. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Across the board, we're just agreeing on everything.
I know. This is not good for me. And if you're just tuning in, I am down by 3 games. And I do want to point out another comment we got from Clay, and this goes back to when we were talking about the Pepperell game. He said, "It's about time y'all pick us, Ian." Well, they've been getting better every week. They kind of struggled early on, so I thought it was kind of fair that we were picking against them, but it's kind of hard to pick against them now.
We didn't pick against them when they played Chattooga 2 weeks ago. We both picked Pepperell that week. It was Temple. And you proved us wrong. So I'm glad to see the Dragons playing winning football.
Ready to move on to the next
one? Absolutely. Rockmart at Harrelson County. Not much to talk about in this one. Harrelson County is not a very good football team. Rockmart is a very good football team that's battle tested and has, I think they made a statement last week because I think Model's a good football team and they absolutely manhandled them. So I think Rockmart is clearly the team to beat in Division 7AA, and they're going to win one easily Friday night.
I agree with you on this one. Not a whole lot to say. Harrelson's played a tough slate, I will say that. Raven County, Bremen, Mary Persons, Upson Lee, North Murray, all the teams they lost to have winning records right now. They kept it close in a few games, including against North Murray, which is a team that has a pretty electric offense. But at the same time, Rockmart looks to be the complete package. You know, offense, defense, special teams. They can run the ball. They can throw it. Ranked number 7 for a reason in AA. So this one's an easy pick. Rockmart won it last year 56-0. Kind of see a similar result coming in this one also.
Yeah. Name your score.
No difference there. My goodness. Will we have any when we get into 7-4A? We got two games that we're going to pick there. And we'll see. But we'll go ahead and talk about this one. Heritage Ringgold, the Generals. I think there's 4 different teams in the state of Georgia and GHSA that are Heritage. So you got to specify which one when you talk about these teams. But the Generals are going to Cedartown. Generals are 4-2, EM 1-0 in region play. Meanwhile, Cedartown's 3-3, 0-1 in region play. Series history wise, Cedartown, there's 2-0. Last year they won it 42-0. They've really taken down the Generals pretty hard the last couple of years. So how do you see this one?
Yeah. I mean, the Bulldogs' record may not look so hot, but this is a good Cedartown team. They played a tough schedule last week. I mean, Central Carrollton is a really good team. They're 6-0 now. They've beaten good competition. I really wanted the Bulldogs to find a way to go out there and get that W last week, and they fought them tooth and nail but came up short. Now they get to come back home, and I think they settle into a schedule that they should be favored every week going forward. I just don't think Heritage can hang with Cedartown's physicality.
We've been to Heritage. We've seen that team play a couple of times in recent years. And one of the things I will say about the Generals, their head coach is E.K. Slaughter. He's been the coach there for a decade now. He's posted a 63-41 record. They've been in the playoffs 7 straight years. and they've never, you know, hoisted any region title banners or anything of that nature. But what you can expect from this team is that he is an intense coach. He'll have a hard-nosed football team. They have high expectations for their players. They're going to be prepared. They're going to be enthusiastic. They're going to get out there and play a physical brand of football. And it's not going to matter because the Cedartown Bulldogs are going to be too much. They got beat by Central last week, as you mentioned. Walton scored all five Central touchdowns last week, I saw.
Wow.
My goodness, and had 175 yards in that game. Jeez. So he was able to really bite the Bulldogs last week, so to speak. But I think that the Bulldogs have bounced back this week and will pick up their first region win of the season. So we agree on that one, man.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's all of our games that we're going to pick in 7-4A. What else have we got on the schedule?
Did we get the Central-Sonorville game?
No, we didn't. You're right. I'm jumping ahead, so... Let's go.
So we just talked about Central and their explosive playmaker scoring five touchdowns. Now they travel to the Furnace. We've been to the Furnace. Nice place to play. Good atmosphere. Great fan base there for Sonorville. We know Sonorville's got some playmakers, but Central's coming off of a win that makes them the front runner in this region without a doubt. And Sonorville is coming off of a loss in which they had a 20-0 lead. And watched the comeback kids, the Bruins of Northwest Whitfield, do it again. Coming from behind to win 21-20, that's got to be pretty deflating. Now, Denver Pate will get his guys focused. He'll have them ready to play. I don't think it'll be enough.
I'm with you on this one. I'm going to pick Central. But as you talked about, Sonorville's quarterback, Jackson Pate, he's dangerous every week because he's a great playmaker with his arm, and he can move his feet, can run the football. He's got several receivers to get the ball to. Cameron Reynolds, Elijah Woods are a couple guys that we called their name a lot several weeks ago. They can also run the ball. Wyatt Key is a strong runner. They got a couple other solid runners on this team, so they do have a lot of different things and looks they can give you on offense. But Central is just rolling right now. They're 6-0, 1-0 in region play. Sonorville won this game by 1 point last year. And I think that Central's going to roll in and get their revenge. So we agree on that one. No differences. I'm down by three games. This is not good. Yeah. We've got three more games to pick here on the schedule today.
That's right. There's some tough ones in here, though.
We're going to move into Region 7-5A when we come back from the break and talk about the Calhoun Yellow Jackets going up to Hiram to take on the Hornets. That's an interesting one. Cass Colonels are going to be over at Cartersville. We'll talk about those two games, and then we'll move into 6-6A and talk about the Rome Wolves going to Sequoia to take on the Chiefs, and all that when we come back on this episode of Northwest. Well, what is the name of the show? This Week in Northwest Georgia Football. We've only been doing this show with that name for, I don't know,
30 probably, years.
Yeah, maybe more than that. So maybe it'll click one day. We'll see. We'll be back.
Shop for your next car, truck, or SUV at Riverside Auto Group. Check out RiversideAutoGroup.com today to browse their selection or visit with them in person at Riverside Chevrolet Buick GMC in Rome, Riverside Toyota in Rome, and the all-new Riverside Buick GMC Cadillac in Cartersville. Locally owned and operated by the Welburn family since 1974. That's Riverside Auto Group. Visit RiversideAutoGroup.com.
Calhoun travels to Hiram. The red hot Hiram Hornets beat Dalton. Matt picked Dalton. I picked Hiram. Did we mention that already? Ah, yes. I think we did. I think we did. So, another team coming off a heartbreaking loss. We just mentioned Sonoraville watching a 20-point lead evaporate. Well, Calhoun was at home leading 17-0. And the Cartersville Hurricanes came back and beat them 21-17. Now they've got to travel to face a Hiram team that is scoring a ton of points. They're not afraid of any of these guys. Last year they knocked off Cartersville. Did they knock off Cartersville or Calhoun last year?
I think it was Calhoun.
It was Calhoun. So, yeah, they won this game last year. They almost beat Cartersville. They're undefeated right now. They just came back and beat Dalton on the road. I think Calhoun's going to score points. Hiram does give up some points. But they've obviously got an offense that can hang with just about anybody. I'm gonna drink the Hornet Kool-Aid here. I'm gonna drown myself in some purple and gold Kool-Aid. I'm gonna take Hiram to win at home.
Yeah, and I kind of figured that you would do that. And, you know, Hiram, in that win against Dalton, they rushed for 419 yards. That is a tough running game against a defense that's performed at a high level throughout the season. Calhoun, you know, obviously lost the game to Cartersville. They led at halftime, gave that one up late in the game, 14 seconds left to go in the football game. But I do think that Calhoun has the pieces to compete against the highest level teams in this region. And so for that reason, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. This is a little bit of strategy on my part, because what difference does it make to me if I lose by five games or if I lose by one? If you're not first, you're last. And in this case, there's only two of us, so if you're not first, you're last. So I'm going to take Calhoun. I believe they can win this game. I don't think that means they will, but I do think they have the pieces to win it. So I'm going to go in the opposite direction because I need some help here. So Calhoun, help me out. Pick up the win here.
I mean, the bottom line here, we know Calhoun is not going to come into this game feeling like they can't win. They're probably coming into this game feeling like they should win. Hiram's the new kid on the block. This is not a program that has been a perennial power, but this is a chance for them to string two quality wins together and send a message over to Cartersville and say, hey, you know what? We might want this region championship.
Yeah, what a
big
heck
moment
of a region
for them.
Too. I know there's been a team or two that have shifted in and out of that over the last several years, but this has been probably the region we talked about the most over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, no doubt. You had Blessed Trinity slide out after the last realignment and Dalton come in, and Woodland's gotten better as well, but they're down in the cellar behind all these teams like Cass and Hiram who have really ascended. And you'd think if Cass or Hiram were in a different region, obviously Hiram's competing here, but I feel like Cass the last few years could have won several regions in the state, but they're just up against some really brutal competition.
Oh, no question, but it gives us a ton to talk about and excitement to look at in terms of being high school football fans. It's electric. There ain't no doubt about that. Well, we have got one more game to pick out of this region, Ian, and tee this one up for us.
You got it. It's the Cass Colonels traveling to their Bartow County rival, Cartersville Purple Hurricanes. Another absolute throwdown in this powerhouse of a region. Both teams are battle tested, but this game's at home for Cartersville. I just don't think Cass is going to be able to get it done and get the W. I won't be surprised if it's close, but that comeback win last week, how much confidence does that give this Cartersville team? I think they'll come in riding high off that and get the W.
I'm with you. It always does a lot for your team when you realize that you can win games in different ways and things of that sort. When you look at this Cass team, they're flying high right now, 4 wins in a row, you know, and they had a couple of tough games to start the season, so they've had some really tough competition that they've had to play. Left on the schedule, though, the Canes, Dalton, Hiram, Calhoun. I mean, what a murderer's row that is. So, you know, I think this is going to be start of some struggles here for Cass. They've got some really good playmakers on this team, but I think the problem that they're going to run into against these four final opponents, I don't know if they can match those teams' depth. I think that's going to be the issue. I don't know a whole lot about the personnel, you know, real far into the roster, but it does seem like they have a little bit of lack of depth compared to these other teams. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I really just think it's going to be that, and they've got to be able to get some stops on the defensive side. You've got some good defenses here. I mean, that 21-17 score is a good indicator of the kind of defenses that you've got in Cartersville and Calhoun. And then when you look at Hiram, they just score a ton of points. So, they're going to have to topple one of those three beasts if they want to get back to the playoffs. And, you know, last year this is a Cass team that got into the playoffs and then made some serious noise. So, again, speaking to the strength of the region, but I do think Cass is going to be the underdog in the rest of their games.
And I don't think we mentioned the series history earlier. Canes lead at 44-5. They won. They've won the last 9 in the series, and they won last year 35-13. So, we'll move on from that one and pick our last game because, believe it or not, we're starting to kind of wind down as far as our time is concerned, Ian. And we're moving into 6A for this particular game.
That's right. It's the Rome Wolves traveling to take on the Sequoia Chiefs. You know, Sequoia has been down for quite some time. When you and I were in high school, Matt, that was an athletic program that was just good in just about every sport. If you had to play Sequoia, you knew you were going to have your hands full. But they haven't been that great on the gridiron in a while, but they scored a big victory over Cedartown early in the season. They're 4-2. They've played good competition, and you know, they've got Rome coming to town with a chance to prove themselves, so I think they'll give Rome their best shot. But this Rome defense, oh, they're soul-eating, man. They are so good up front. It's going to be tough for the Chiefs to score points, and I think Reese Fountain and DK Daniel and the athletes that Rome has on the other side of the ball will find a way to get into the end zone often. So I like Rome to win this one.
And you mentioned two names there, Reese Fountain. He was 9 of 13 passing for 157 yards and two touchdowns last week. DK Daniel returned a kickoff 86 yards for a touchdown in the fourth quarter of that game. So these are two big playmakers, and I think that one of the things that makes this Rome team so dangerous is how good they are in all three phases of the game. You mentioned how salty their defense is. They're also averaging 45 points a game, so they can light up the scoreboard. And I really think Sequoia is as good a team as they appear to be. I think they're going to have their hands full with the Rome Wolves. And I think that the Rome Wolves will wear them down over the course of the game and will pull away at some point of this game. We'll see when that happens, but I do think it will happen.
I do too. All right.
Well, that is our last pick. The team that is off in Region 7A Division 1 this week is going to be Dade County. They're idle this week.
And you look at Dade County's 0-2 record, I have a feeling Pepper will have something to say about that, but I won't be surprised if Dade County wins out.
Well, we talked already earlier in the program about GHSA approving the private playoffs and then the NIL thing. I think we've covered that pretty thoroughly today. So we do have about 3 minutes left of the show. Which college games are you looking forward to most this weekend, man?
I mean, you've got some big ones on the docket. Let's see if Jimbo Fisher can stay under Nick Saban's collar and annoy him. We'll see if the Aggies can make a game out of that one again. Kentucky traveling to Georgia. I see that as a mismatch, but I guess we'll find out a little bit more about Georgia because Kentucky's a team that wants to out-physical their opponent, and nobody's really out-physical the Dogs the last few years. So I think Kentucky will have to make plays in the passing game to win that, and I don't think that will happen. But interested to see how that one unfolds. Maryland, Ohio State. I think we're getting to that point where we're really finding out what teams have. But there's a lot of parity in college football. It's wide open. Another game I'm very excited about is the Red River Shootout.
You'll be ashamed of yourself. Zuckerberg's going to shut us down today, man.
I know. And I'll call it the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, too. While I'm at it, I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there.
Going all in. One game that took place last night I do want to mention because it involved a local kid who played at Coosa several years ago, went to Tennessee, transferred to Jacksonville State. Sean Brown had over 100 yards receiving yesterday for the Jacksonville State Gamecocks. And they trailed early in that game and absolutely just blew the doors off of Middle Tennessee State in the game in the second half to go 5-1. They're 3-0 in Conference USA. And then staying on the topic of Sean Brown and the game last week against Sam Houston, both of these games on national television, by the way, Jacksonville State would need two overtimes to do it, but they won that game as well. And who caught the winning touchdown catch? Well, it was Sean Brown, who played out at Coosa. We had the opportunity to call some games involving him back in the day. So it's always great when you get to see the local kids go on to the next level and make some noise on national television, which was super exciting to see.
For your alma mater, who is 5-1, 3-0 in conference play in their first year in the FBS. So they were talking about your guys on national radio as I was driving over here this morning. So Jacksonville State making a splash early in their FBS debut.
And when they announced that they were going to move to the next level, I kind of had mixed feelings about it because I like the playoff format that you have in FCF. Or FCS rather, but when they announced the hire of Rich Rodriguez to be their coach, it showed you, I felt like, how seriously they were taking that move up and trying to move that program forward. And man, he's got them going so far, which is exciting
to
see.
Fun to watch.
Making a splash.
Heck yeah.
Splash. I like it.
Well, have you gotten over to a game yet?
I have not, man. And I usually try to go at least 2 or 3 times a year, but it just hasn't worked out with the schedule. But I will definitely get down to Burgess Snow at some point this year and taking a game. And they play Liberty there coming up next week.
Okay,
it's on Tuesday. But I'll just be flying back to town from a trip I'm taking this weekend, so I won't be able to make that one either. But it's going to have horse season.
What's the barbecue place that I haven't gotten to go to over there?
It's called Cooter Brown's Rib Shack.
There we go. Yeah. All right.
Man, when I went to school over there, I think I probably spent as much time over at Cooter Brown's Rib Shack as I spent in class. You know, it was my spot, no doubt.
I remember we were going to basketball. We've gone to a couple of games over there, and both times Cooter Brown's was closed. So I've not gotten to enjoy this famous barbecue spot of yours. It'll happen.
It is awesome. It's an icon over there. Well, that's going to put a wrap on our show. That's all our time for today. But as always, Ian, thanks for being here. I always appreciate getting your insight each and every week on the games and picking them, even though you're kicking my butt.
Well, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Well, we appreciate everybody being here. We'll hear a word from our sponsor and bid you adieu. But this has been another edition of This Week in Northwest Georgia Football. Hope your team wins this weekend. Have a great weekend, everybody. We appreciate you.
Shop for your next car, truck, or SUV at Riverside Auto Group. Check out RiversideAutoGroup.com today to browse their selection or visit with them in person at Riverside Chevrolet Buick GMC in Rome, Riverside Toyota in Rome, and the all-new Riverside Buick GMC Cadillac in Cartersville. Locally owned and operated by the Welburn family since 1974. That's Riverside Auto Group. Visit RiversideAutoGroup.com.